There is a bond of fellowship amongst soldiers so strong that they see themselves as a band of brothers. Across the last several years, I have met a number of men in the military who are outstanding Christian men. Some of them have been high ranking. Some of them, on the other hand, have been like Tommy Wooten. Tommy was a Vietnam veteran who joined the National Guard after his years in Nam. In 2003, Tommy's unit was sent to join the 101st Airborne in Mosul, Iraq. Tommy was one of my church members while I was in Hamilton. He was a supply sergeant. While there, he wrote me the following letter. I want to read a portion of it to you. He said, "I'm very thankful for the First Baptist Church. I am very proud to be a member. But most of all, I am thankful that the Lord saved me and I became a child of God. While here, I know that if anything happens to me, I know where I will go. About a month ago, we had to borrow the chaplain's vehicle to make a run. They told me we were considered a soft target because there was a cross on the windshield and on the rear of the vehicle. Well, I could have taken them off and we would have looked like all the other vehicles, but I thought, the Lord Jesus bore the cross, He hung on the cross, and I find refuge in the cross. So we left it on and we had no trouble. Thank God." You know, that was Tommy Wooten and his commitment. I'm proud of our military, but I'm especially proud of men like Tommy who have the courage to stand up for Jesus. Tommy was fortunate enough to make it home from Iraq. A few years later, his tour in Vietnam caught up with him. He died from complications from exposure to Agent Orange. I remember that day like it was yesterday. A couple of us were in Tommy's home visiting with him. He was waiting for the ambulance to arrive. But Tommy wasn't worried. He belonged to that band of brothers who carried the cross. The ambulance didn't make it in time, but Tommy still made it home. Belonging to a band of brothers sometimes means risking your life to save theirs. The bond of fellowship between those men is strong, and for those of you who've been there and done that, you know that it grows even stronger in battle. Now, I want us to move from that band of brothers who serve in the military to those of us who make up that band of brothers known as the church. We've been working our way through some of the themes in 1 John on Sunday morning. It's a little book that has only 106 verses. It speaks of sin and how out of place it is in the life of a believer. It stresses our need to be honest about our sin, to confess it, so that we might be cleansed and continue to walk in fellowship with God. But one of the most important themes in 1 John is about relationships between brothers. On the battlefield, courage, commitment, and sacrifice form the bond between that band of brothers. But in this band of brothers that make up the church, we are bound together by something that also requires courage, commitment, and sacrifice. That word is love. And that word occurs in 25 different verses in 1 John. That means that nearly one-fifth of the book has something to say to us about loving our brothers. So we're going to look at some of those verses this morning. For those of you who might be here for the first time, we're in the middle of a series of messages on 1 John. The title of each sermon has been a question. We've asked 5 questions so far, and this morning we look at a 6th. The first question was, have you experienced God? The second, do you have fellowship with God? The third, are you honest about sin? The fourth, do you seek to be cleansed of sin? The fifth, we asked last week, what is it that keeps you from being obedient to God? And now we come to our 6th question raised by this book. Do you walk in fellowship with your brother? There are 2 kinds of fellowship that are important to John, and it's important that we understand the distinction between them as well as the relationship between them. The first is vertical fellowship. The second is horizontal fellowship. Vertical fellowship is fellowship with God. Horizontal fellowship is fellowship with my brother. John invites us into that fellowship in the third verse of the first chapter, he said, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us." That's horizontal fellowship. And then he said, "Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." That's vertical fellowship. Do you have fellowship with God? Do you walk with him? Do you worship him? Do you know him? Remember, last week we learned that to say I know him means I perceive him, I recognize him, I understand him, I am acquainted with him. Is that true of your life? If it is, then John issues a command from the throne of heaven. By the way, the Greek word command always means an authoritative prescription. It isn't optional. It isn't something you can think about or pray about. It demands your obedience. Now listen to these verses from 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. "Dear friends, I am not writing to you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. The old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing to you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him." Did you hear a command in those verses? No. He talked about a command, but he never issues it. The command comes later in chapter 4 in verse 21. And here it is. "And he has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother." In this band of brothers and sisters that make up the church, one of the clearest commands we are given by the captain of our salvation is to love one another. But even as John wrote these words, he did so acknowledging the brokenness that existed among some of those who claimed to belong to Christ. So the subject of my message this morning is going to focus on broken relationships that may exist in the lives of those of us who are part of this band of brothers and sisters who make up the church. I'm about to give you the first point of my outline this morning. It's very important that you hear it and take it to heart. A broken relationship with a brother results in a broken relationship with God. However, it is likely that a previous broken relationship with God resulted in a broken relationship with your brother. Brokenness in a horizontal relationship is a symptom of a much deeper problem. Before you can address the relationship problem with your brother, you must address the brokenness in the vertical relationship between you and God. If you fix that connection, the Holy Spirit will compel you to fix the problem with your brother. Now, I fully understand there are reasons relationships get broken. This is not a sermon about the things that cause brokenness. It's a sermon about how I am to relate to brokenness when it comes into my life, even if it comes into my life through someone I loved and trusted, by someone in the band of brothers or sisters, or my family who let me down. It took incredible courage and incredible faith for Tommy Wooten to drive across Iraq carrying the cross in the presence of those who hated it and him. But it also takes incredible courage to carry the cross in our own hearts and love in the face of hurt and in spite of it. How is that possible? John tells us. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. He says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God." Did you catch that? Where am I going to get love for someone I don't seem to be able to love? John said that love comes from God, and so that brings me to the second major point in this message, and that is that God himself is the source of love. Love comes from God. It comes from God to me, but it also comes from God through me. I don't have the love in me to show to someone who has hurt me or let me down. That love has to come from outside me. It has to come from God. In 1 John 4:19, John says, "We love because he first loved us." Now, I'm commanded to love. It isn't an option. I love others because I've experienced love. God loved me. Have you experienced God? Have you experienced the love of God for you, sinner though you are? You were God's enemy and he loved you. He pours that same love into your life so that it can flow through you to your brother. Is there anyone God can't love? Is it possible for God to love your brother? Then it's possible for you to love them and to allow God to love them through you. If you're a believer, this is not something you can think about or pray about. It isn't optional. It's an authoritative command from the throne of God. So where can you find that love that you've been unable to give to your brother? You find it at the same place you received it, at the foot of the cross. God himself is the source of that love. Now, how much should you love your brother? Is it all right just to endure them, just to tolerate them, just to graciously associate with them and then to go home and take a Tylenol and get over it? What's the answer to how much you should love them? Well, here's the answer. This is the third major point of the message. Jesus himself is the measure of that love. In John, in the Gospel of John, in chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another." And then he gives the measure. He says, "As I have loved you, so you must also love one another." The measure of our love, the yardstick that we're to bring alongside our lives to use as a standard, is the very love of Christ for us. Are you loving your brother by that rule? Listen to John in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. "By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Now, let me ask you a question. What do I do when my connection with that love is broken, and because of it, there's brokenness between me and a brother? What if that love's not flowing through my life to my brother? What if my relationship with my brother is broken, and instead of love in my heart, there's hatred? Well, remember, you stop loving your brother because in the process of being hurt, the vertical connection was broken between you and God. And before you can address the relationship problem with your brother, you must address the broken connection between you and God. When the connection is open between you and God, the love of God will flow through your life to your brother. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 11, John wrote, "But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. What do you rob yourself of when you cut yourself off from your brother? You rob yourself of fellowship with God. You rob yourself from the light of God's presence and from the light of God's guidance. You will stumble in the darkness. You will be a cause of stumbling in the lives of others." John says that a shroud of spiritual darkness has blinded your eyes. If you can't see clear to love God's people, you can't see God's purpose. As a result, you won't see God's power in your life or in your church. Who is the author of confusion? The Bible clearly says God is not. Then where does this confusion come from that causes hurt within the band of brothers and sisters that make up the church? Well, in order to answer that question, John directs our attention to the very first band of brothers in the Bible. 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. He says, "This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. So I ask you again, do you walk in fellowship with your brother? If not, what is your excuse? You're commanded by the captain of your salvation to be a band of brothers and sisters bound together by love for God and love for one another. You're to carry the cross, even if it means risking hurt, by carrying it into enemy territory. So if there is brokenness between me and my brother, the first thing that I need to address is the brokenness between me and God. If at the foot of the cross I recover my love for God, God will pour into my heart a supernatural love that will enable me to do what I could never do on my own. Some years ago, in a church that I pastored, we had a revival. The week of revival went well, but near the end of the week, the man who was preaching the revival told me that he wouldn't preach the last night. Instead, he wanted to serve the Lord's Supper, and I thought, what a stupid thing to do. You're going to serve the Lord's Supper right here at the end of a revival? The week has gone well, and you're not going to preach? We're going to have the Lord's Supper? I thought, what a terrible thing that is. But he did it, and I let him do it, even though we had paid him to come and preach. I couldn't foresee what God could do in those circumstances. But that night, as he walked us through the Lord's Supper, when it came time to take the cup, he held up that cup and he said, some of you are not going to be able to take the cup tonight. First, you're going to have to go and seek to mend the relationship between you or a brother or sister. He reminded us that Jesus said, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there you remember that your brother has aught against you, first go your way and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. And he made the case that that was the very thing that God was asking us to do that night. Well, we all participated in the Lord's Supper. Some took the cup and some didn't. I didn't know exactly what happened that night until later. And then I began to hear stories of people who told me, someone from your church showed up at my house the other night with a cup in their hand, and they said there was something between us that needed to be made right before they could be made right with God, and they asked me to forgive them, and they took the cup in my presence. One lady in our church went across the church, and our church was very large, 75 yards from one side to the other in the back, so that it was almost like sitting across the football field from someone. You could come and sit in that church and go out another door and really for weeks or months never see other people that came to the church. But one of those ladies took the cup and went to another lady in the church and said, 20 years ago, I had an affair with your husband, and I want to ask you to forgive me. I want to tell you what, some things happened that night. God poured some love through some people to mend some hurt that they thought would never be mended. Some relationships were mended that we thought could never be because of God's own love poured out, not by an individual, but from the very foot of the cross, first poured out to the believer, poured out to the brother, and then poured through that brother to another believer. Let me ask you a question. What could God do in your life or in your family or in your church if you carried the cross into enemy territory, trusting that God would take care of you, whatever that meant, whatever hurt at risk, that God was going to do something special as you attempted just to be a channel of His love to somebody that you didn't think it was possible for you to love anymore? May God mend much hurt here in this service today as we come to our invitation time. Let's pray. Oh Lord, as people hear this message today, I pray that you would stir in their heart a desire for relationships to be mended. First, their vertical relationship, the relationship between you and them, but also, Lord, the horizontal relationships in their life. If there's brokenness in their family, or brokenness in the church, or brokenness, Lord, anywhere, I pray, God, that you, by your power, by the power of your love, would bring healing and wholeness into their life and into all the relationships around them. Now, God, we commit this time to you and ask you, by the power of your love, to do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.